Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 3 together. Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. We'll read this together, all three verses, and we'll pause any punctuation. Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. All in unison on that first verse there, Judges chapter 14, verse number 1 through verse number 3, all in unison. All right, ready? Begin. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the examples that are given in the Bible where we could build our lives upon, the truths that are outlaid. I ask you, please just help us. Lord, thank you so much for the testimonies of the campers. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can grow spiritually, grow in grace. We ask you, please just be with us now. Help us, Lord, to be hungry that you might fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open, and I want to help you tonight. I realize I'm just a little bit late. I planned this shorter sermon on purpose. Shorter does not imply anything. A young couple had no children for a long time and lived in Israel. An angel came to the wife one night and said, You're going to have a son. She tells her husband, and he doesn't believe her, and said, Well, if that's true, then God's going to have to show me. And the next day, the angel came to her husband and said, It's true. Why did it take an angel? Because that angel told them that this son, when he was born, from the time she conceived until he was born, he was to live his life under something called a Nazarite vow. Not a Nazarene, but a Nazarite vow. In other words, every moment of his life was to have been spent keeping this vow. It separated him from the world, from what he ate, the people with whom he would spend time. His appearance would be different. And there were certain things that went with it. Those things are not the important thing at the moment. I'm trying to get to the important part tonight. This lady had a boy. They named him Samson. All pink and wiggly, good night, ugly. Ain't never been a cute newborn baby in the world, I'm sorry. But he was born, and he grew up like most boys, except he was different. Now, some people will tell you that Samson never cut his hair. That's not part of the Nazarite vow. The Bible says that there was to be no razor upon his head. Now, there was times in the Nazarite vow that every year their hair would be cut a certain amount of times and how it was to be done, but he was never to shave his head. He was never to walk around with his head shaved or buzzed, so to speak. And he grows up, and he grows up like most young people, but Samson had decisions made for him about his life by God. Young people, listen to me. Life isn't about what you want to do, but what God wants you to do. There's a lot of people out there that have done what they wanted to do, and when they did it, they wish they hadn't done it. When you learn to live in God's will, you'll be a happy person. And I'm not afraid to say those things. God gave Samson unusual strength because of his obedience. The Bible says more of Samson that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him than any other person in the Bible. He was a spiritual young man. You have to understand something. I don't think Samson was 6'4" and 245 pounds. I think Samson was a scrawny little runt. Say why? Because everybody expects a big guy to be strong. Nobody expects a little guy to be able to do what he did. For instance, a lion came out and he grabbed the lion by the face and he grabbed it and ripped it in half and killed it with his bare hands. I ain't doing that. Nope, got better sense. That's what they give us guns for, amen? To pay a debt, he ended up killing 30 people in order to do that. Another time he caught 300 foxes and put them together by twos and put a firebrand between their tails and cut them loose and burning the fields down of the enemy. I like that one. At another time, he took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 people with it. Imagine your only weapon was the jawbone of a donkey. Now, God gave Samson some very unique victories and unique strength. We pick up here in Judges chapter 14. And Samson tells his parents as an adult man, I want you to go down to the land of Philistia. And I want you to bring this lady to me because she pleases me and I want to marry her. Now, i.e., let's bring this to modern day. Philistia is modern day Gaza. We're having troubles right now in Israel because of the Gaza Strip. That's the land of Goliath. That's the land of the giants. It's the land of the Hebrews' biggest enemies who have always been their enemy. They were so bad that God wasn't going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and follow the Mediterranean Sea. He had to take them down and across through the wilderness and up because he knew they would be too afraid to go by their arch enemies. They've always been Israel's enemy. Now listen to me. Samson falls in love with a worldly Philistine girl named Delilah. Delilah was paid off by the Philistines to find out what gave Samson his strength. They wanted to bring him down. And through a series of things, and I'm not going to go into it because it's not the focal point tonight, but at one point in time, he tells her one thing, they do it, he wakes himself, chases everybody off, and another time he tells them another thing, and he wakes and shakes himself. Eventually she wears him down, and she finds the secret. And they catch him. They shave his head. Then they take him, and they take a red hot poker with steel and they stick it into his eyeballs and burn his eyeballs out. They take him down to the grinding mill with the oxen and hook him up, and there he is walking with a bunch of animals grinding meal at the mill with his eyeballs poked out. The man to whom it is said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him more than any other man. Now, just grinding meal like an animal. His eyeballs burnt and popped out. How did this man fall so low? How could he go from this great strength and this spiritual man to something so low as to what he did? How did he end up underneath the bottom? I'm going to give you the answer, and then I'm going to teach you on it real quick. The reason is, Samson played with temptation too much. Samson played with temptation too much. And he played with it so much, he didn't realize he got too close and it got him. Just that quick. Samson enjoyed I'm going to use the word the tickle, the playfulness of temptation. He liked living on the edge. He liked the thrill that it gave. Oh, he wasn't going to cross the line, but he didn't realize one day he would. Folks, you can only play with temptation so long before it's going to destroy you. It'll bite you. I was in Colorado Springs preaching. I think I preached 17 times in a week. I did end up playing around a golf while I was there. It sure is fun hitting a golf ball a mile in the air. The air's real thin. You can hit a golf ball a long way in thin air, let me tell you. But there was this one area, and I had kind of, where I play, they don't always mow the grass and do different things. But there was this one area, and I had hit it in this kind of, we would call it a rock break around here, but it wasn't really that. And it had signs, do not enter rattlesnakes. Leave the ball, free drop. I thought, yeah, right. And the guy I was with, I said, well, it's just over here. He said, I wouldn't do that. I said, it can't be that close. And I took one step in, and all of a sudden I heard, shh. I said, okay, I'll take another ball out and drop it right here. I didn't feel led to go in there and get my, I wasn't going to test that rattlesnake, amen. I know this, I was close enough for him to know I was there, which was too close for me. See, what'd you do? I moved out about 6 or 8 feet. I wasn't going to stand there next to that thing. It already heard me once. I'm getting as far away as I can. Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. You know, sometimes we want to see how close to that we can get without getting hurt. We want to play with it and see how tight we can get to that without getting hurt. I want to give you 9 statements tonight about temptation. Listen to me carefully. Number one, sin is a line that you cross. It's the word transgress, trespass. You go down the road and see yellow signs that says no trespassing. It means don't cross the property line. Sin is crossing that line. Now watch this. The line you cross to go into sin is temptation. The line is temptation. When you cross the line, you're in sin. So, here's the problem. Too many people live right up against the edge of that line.
Yes, sir. That's right.
We want to get as close to that line as we can without falling over, without going into it. It's kind of like if you're trapping, how many of you have ever seen a rat trap? Not a mouse trap, but a rat trap. Right, it's like a mouse trap on steroids. They're really strong. If you get your finger in there, it will snap your finger just about plumb off. When I was in South Carolina, we had rats in the buildings because they were old junkyard buildings, and the bodies on the rats were about that big. There is not a more disgusting animal in the world to me, nothing more vile than a rat. And I don't know how many rats they pulled out of that building while I was there, but they would use those big old snap traps, and you'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden you heard, shrink. And you say, what'd you do? I got somebody else to go get it, because I ain't touching a stupid thing. I got better sense than that, amen? You bait the trap, you set it, and you bait it. When the rat crosses the line and touches the bait, guess what happens? And they go to rat hell for eternity. That bait is the temptation. I found out you use Tootsie Rolls and ketchup or mustard, and you can catch a rat faster than anything. Because the Tootsie Rolls and the ketchup sours, and the sweet smell of the Tootsie Roll, it'll draw them faster than anything. So I learned some things. But guess what? As soon as the rat crosses the line, it gets you. If you're trapping beavers or otters or anything, you set a trap. And the moment they cross that line, their head gets snapped. That is exactly what temptation does. That temptation is usually food or something desirable to whatever you're trying to capture. Number two, temptation covers up and only shows you the feel-good part. Can I tell you something? The devil has succeeded in tempting people to do wrong, making it look good. I'll get into this in a moment here. But isn't it amazing? They can advertise for things and it never turns out the way they advertise. Why? They tempt you. Get rich quick. That means get away as fast as you can. You don't get rich quick. There's no such thing. And you have to understand something. We get so tempted by what we want that we get blinded to whatever else is around. It looks good. That's what the devil did with Eve and Adam in Genesis chapter 3. Oh, look at the fruit, Eve. It's beautiful. It'll make you wise. Touch it. It's good for food. You could do so much with it. And he began to tempt her with the benefits, but he didn't show her the death afterwards. He didn't show her son killing her other son. And on and on. Number three, temptation is the voice that says, it's okay. Nobody will know. Temptation is that voice that says, you can do it. Nobody will know. Everybody look at me for a second. The easiest person in the world to lie to is yourself. I don't care who you are. The hardest person to make do right is the guy I shave in the mirror. I can tell myself I'm strong enough, it won't bother me. Guess what? It'll bite you. Temptation is that voice that says, oh, your mom and dad will never find out. The preacher will never know. I don't know how many times I've been accused of reading your texts and your mail and everything else. And I don't do that. But temptation is that voice that says, you can get away with it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Please don't. But I wonder how many of you got away with something wrong when you were in your early years and you kept doing it and eventually it caught up to you. It's exactly what God's talking about. You do it and you do it and you do it and you do it and all of a sudden, gotcha. I baited a trap for a rabbit that was under my deck this summer. Say, why? Because my beagle was about to choke herself to get to it all the time. So I had to set up a box trap to catch it, and I put food just outside the trap, and I covered the trap so you couldn't see the trap. And after about 3 or 4 days, guess what was in my trap? A rabbit. Everybody thought, what are you going to do with it? I took it down to where I go rabbit hunting and let it go because you can't eat them this time of year. Full of worms. So I took it down there so after the frost comes, I can shoot it and eat it. You don't eat them right now, all right? I'll kill it later. No big deal. Now, wait a minute. I had to cover the trap so he couldn't tell that it was a trap. But I put enough food outside and just inside the trap so that when he got in, caught him. He took a ride in the back of my truck. He didn't like it too well, Brother Steve. But boy, he couldn't get out of that trap fast enough when I opened the door. He was gone. Number four, temptation only shows you the start of sin, not the end. Temptation only shows you the start of sin, not the end. You think it's cool to smoke cigarettes. They don't show you the person laying on their deathbed choking and dying of emphysema. They don't show you people coughing up bits and pieces of their lungs from years of smoking. They don't show you the mouth cancer and the all the other things from chewing tobacco. I said it.
That's
right. Just led a man to the Lord a couple weeks ago that died of throat and stomach cancer because he chewed and dipped his whole life. Cancer was so bad, every time he breathed, you could hear the cancer rattling in his throat. It was so bad that 2 days before he died, they had to give him his medication at the other end. Couldn't swallow anything, couldn't give it IV. It was so bad that every time he took a breath, you could hear the cancer vibrating in his throat. When he would talk, you could hear the cancer hitting itself inside his voice box. Miserable. Miserable. They don't show you that. They show you these beautiful people drinking alcohol. Beautiful ladies and strong, handsome men. But they don't show you is the end result. They don't show you the home where a man came in and beat his wife and kids because he was drunk. Teeth knocked out, black eyes, everything else. What they don't show you about advertising alcohol is a mama sitting on the edge of the road with a child in her hands with no head on its body because a drunk driver crossed the center line, hit their car, and killed her child and knocked its head off. If they'd advertise the end of alcohol instead of the beginning, you'd have less people drinking. They don't show you the drunk that keeps going back to it, laying in their vomit, and has an addiction that they're just not strong enough to fight. I'm going to say it, sports. America's addicted to sports. I am not against sports, but sports don't teach team philosophy. I've said this recently. I'm going to go out swinging. Almost every adult you work with played sports in school, and most everybody at work can't get along. Guess sports didn't teach team philosophy, huh? It teaches competition, not teamwork. I'm not against sports, but your kid's not going to be the next LeBron James, and I hope not, because he's an idiot. Drugs, they don't show you. They show you the guy that's high, but they won't show you what happens later. Let's go downtown to Martinsburg and find the crack addicts that are wasting away to nothing. Their eyes are sunk back in their head. Their skin's about to fall off, and they got to have their next fix. Yes, sir. The sodomites. We have our rights, but they don't show you the heartbreak and the dying of AIDS. They don't show you the broken families. Intellectualism. Can I tell you something? We have a lot of smart, stupid people. We have people that are more educated than they have sense. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun right here. I'm not against education, but I'm against education that creates this mentality that we are animals and evolve from lower life forms. I'm smart enough to know that ain't true. Amen. Evolution doesn't even follow science's own definition of science. To be science, it has to be observable and repeatable. Millions of years are not observable, nor have they been able to repeat anything in evolution. It doesn't even follow science. Climate change. All the polar caps are going to melt and the water's going to flood the coastal line. Folks, fill a glass full of ice and then fill it with water. When the ice melts, does all the water come out of the cup? No, the water level goes down. If all the ice melts, guess what? The water level is going to go down, not up. Everybody doing okay? Don't worry. But global warming, preacher. You notice they only talk about that when it's 100 degrees outside? Or they'll take you to the Antarctica in December when it's summertime down there. Look at all the ice melting. And yeah, because it's summer down there, winter up here, dum-dum. But we believe it. Number five. Ooh, I got to hurry. Set your principles and your rules based on the Bible as far away from sin and temptation as you can get. Let me say that again. Set your lines of principles and rules farther away than just the line of temptation. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Anthony, I want you to stand right there. You're going to represent sin. You do it so well. I'm not going to push you in the water. Don't worry. If that is sin, right there's temptation. If I live right here and I stumble and I fall, which way am I going? That way. So I decided a long time ago, I'm going to live over here. If I fall, I got a couple steps before I have to worry about anything. Say, preacher, you're just a radical. I might be a radical, but I'm safe.
Yes, sir. Sure.
When my kids were growing up, we had rules. Our families didn't all understand our rules. I had families on my wife's side and my side that would say, you're just protecting those kids way too much. When they grow up, they're never going to be able to adjust to society. They're never going to be normal in society. I have one that's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida right now, married. I have one that's in Jordan in the United States Air Force who's a sniper and intercepting missiles that are shooting at Israel. I have another one. She's married to my son-in-law. He's a junior church preacher in their church, and they're doing quite well. And everybody that told us, you protect your kids too much, most of their kids have gone to jail, have illegitimate kids, or have died of drug overdoses or drunken driving accidents. What happened? I stayed as kept my people, as my kids, as far away from the line as I could. So you're a little excessive. I may be, but if they fall, they still haven't gone to where he's at. Everybody doing okay? Preacher sets the rules at the church pretty far away. Can I tell you why? I don't want your kids to get too close to that line. I'll be preaching at them as soon as they turn around and start looking at that line. Don't you look at that line. That line will destroy you. You don't know what's going to happen if you touch that line. Ooh, okay. I'll stay back up over here, preacher. Good. Everybody doing all right? You can pick that up and have a seat. Thank you. You represented sin so well. That means this. I'll preach hard about the way we dress. I think people dress like Christians all the time. Because what you do, my mom used to say this, what you do on occasion, your kids will make standard. What you allow once, that becomes their standard. Boy, was she right. Boy, was she right. I'm talking about haircuts. Stay as far away from the world. Men and ladies. Respect. In our school, we make our kids say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, all the time. It's good practice at home. I'm 57 years old. When I talk to the kids in our school, if it's a boy, I say, yes, sir. If it's a girl, I say, yes, ma'am. I treat them with the same respect I'd like to be treated with. And if they don't, I'll correct them. I'm not mad at them. I'm just trying to teach them basic respect. Everybody doing okay? Don't get mad at me. You're going to kill somebody in a minute. I don't think we ought to style our clothing and our jewelry and haircuts and stuff after the world. Be careful with our entertainment. Why do we have to go to lost people for entertainment. These kids went to camp, had more fun in a week than they've had in their whole life at times, and they weren't around a television or Radio One. Shazam. Shut up. They didn't even have their cell phones because it didn't work out there. I could have said tape or 8-track or a record player, amen. So set your rules and principles farther away from the line of temptation. Number 6, the farther away from temptation you get, the less chance of crossing the line you are. Number 7, this is where we're going to separate real hard. Don't spend time with people who are on the border, because they're going to draw you closer to the line. Something I do as a pastor. I'm over here. I have friends all along this way. But when there's somebody here fellowshipping with the guy on the other side of the line, my line's back here. He may have been here at one time, but now he's all the way back here. Say, what do? I throw his books away. I don't listen to his sermons. I get rid of everything from him until he comes back to where he's supposed to be. Because I don't know where along the line he started going that direction or what brought him that direction. I leave that influence. There's some preachers I still call friend that I haven't talked to in years because they're holding hands and flirting with people that are on that line. Pay attention. Be careful who you... I think you ought to know who your kids' friends are. Who they're talking to. I think it's really... I'm going to get in trouble if I say that. I don't care. I think you ought to know, if you're going to allow them to have Facebook, who they're talking to, and not just the account that they give you, their real account that they use. I think it's foolish to let a kid have a computer or a phone by themselves ever. Just going to say it. My kids thought I was the second coming of Satan because they didn't get a phone until they graduated from high school and paid for it themselves. But Dad, all my friends have it. Good, then you don't need one. Can I tell you something? After my kids grew up, they got married. My daughter's got a child. She said, Daddy, I'm teaching in the Christian school. My son will never have a telephone till he gets out of high school. I said, wonder where you got that. She said, I know. I said, you thought I, she said, I know, but you were right. We are so addicted to technology, we think our kids have, folks, they don't. Well, what if they need to get a hold of me? Do you know how many people in the world have a phone within reach? I remember the day you kept a quarter in your shoe. Shut up. There was such a thing called a payphone that back then. Good night. You could go to the neighbor's house and call. It didn't matter. Boy, that's good stuff. Next. Number 8. Sin and temptation will wait patiently for you. They'll wait as long as it takes to get you. When I set that trap for that rabbit, I didn't expect to get something the first day. It took about 3 or 4 days. I wasn't worried. It was set. It was just waiting to get its attention. When it finally got its attention, got it. Got it. The devil is very patient. The devil is far more patient than we sinners are. He just knows how to tempt us. Number 9, and I'll finish. Samson got so used to playing with temptation that he was shocked when it bit him. Let me say something right here. Samson became a casualty. Do you know what the root word of casualty is? Casual. when you get casual with wrong. When you get casual talking about topics you shouldn't talk about. When you get casual with people with whom you should not be casual with. That's why I'm against, I'm going to say it, that's why I'm against being casual at church. Used to have something called Sunday go to meeting clothes. Most churches are a casualty to God right now because everybody wants to sit in their PJs and follow the bouncy ball on a screen. Well, bless God, I think we ought, it's God's house. I think we ought to treat it as God's house, not our living room. Now, I'm not mad at you. If the best you have is a clean t-shirt, bring it. Amen. I'm not putting a dress code on church, but what I'm saying is we have gotten way too casual in America, and look at the casualty. I end with this. President Trump was shot at yesterday. My dad and I were talking about this coming to church tonight. He had 8 or 10 Secret Service agents jump on top of him. In the process of that, his shoes got knocked off. They were getting ready to stand him up, and they said, okay, Mr. President, on three we're going. He said, no, we're not. I want my shoes. They said, Mr. President, we've got to. He said, I want to put my shoes on. He said, we've got to. He said, you didn't understand. I'm putting my shoes on. I'm walking out of here as the president. Not in my socks. He understood the importance of his leadership and his position to where he wanted to be appropriate. Let me ask you a question. Do we have that presence of mind? And I don't mean this unkindly. He's only the president of the United States. That only lasts for a little while. How about being a Christian?
Yes, sir.
That's eternity. We live too close to temptation. The line you cross to get to sin is temptation.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget that.
Good.
Here's my question, and I'm done. How close to that line do you live? How close to the line do you live? Every head bowed, every eye closed.